Welcome to the Abiloute Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Well, good morning, church. How are we doing? Everybody doing good? All right. Awesome. We have we're in the middle of an interesting kind of combination, almost like two parallel series that are weaving together right now as Pastor Mark is preaching and I'm preaching. He's been talking a lot about resources in our life and giving and what we do and how we steward our lives. And I felt the Lord really lay on my heart to really teach about, you know, humility and how do we keep growing and how does the kingdom of God really work in context with humility. And I really believe that humility is the beginning place for the kingdom of God to really, really take place and take root and be active. And so today I think these messages are going to kind of intertwine a little bit. So if you have been following the podcasts or you've missed a few days, it'd be good for you to go back and grab some of those messages and get all the pieces to the puzzle. It'll help you, you know, stay on track and continue to keep growing with us. But if you'd open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 4, the last time I preached, I was talking about being good soil. And if you didn't get that message, I encourage you to get it. But the essence of this message is to understand that in humility, we give God this opportunity to sow into our lives and move through our life. And it really isn't about how great our gifts are or how good we are at something, but it really is about how much of ourself that we're willing to allow God to use. And the gateway to all growth and the beginning place, the starting place for the kingdom of God to really take root in your life is through humility. And I just mentioned very simply that you can't get saved unless you can't receive Jesus and receive salvation unless you first humble yourself. You know, the first act in salvation, you know, from faith, God, I believe, Jesus, you are God. Like, even to get to there, you have to first say, I'm not God. You with me? So first you have to humble yourself to have the faith to receive salvation. And so the beginnings of the kingdom are not big. The beginnings of the kingdom in your life are small. All right? So where God begins in your life is not this grand, humongous, you know, fulfilled accomplishment in your life. But rather than that, it's a small thing. It's a seed. It's a starting place. And so first, I believe that as we buy in to the lifestyle in the kingdom of humility, that we give ourselves the opportunity to grow. We give ourselves the opportunity to encounter God in deeper levels and in new ways. And we give God more of a platform to use our life. But I think that, you know, Jesus teaches about this in Mark chapter 4. He goes on to teach about what the kingdom is really like. Because I think in our minds, and I'm just making this assumption based on my perspective and the people I know, so maybe you're different than this, but most of us, when we think about our life when we're young, actually, even when we're old, I think a lot of times on the inside, we still feel young, right? We still feel a lot like that person. On the inside, we look in the mirror and we're like, what's happening to me? You know, that you kind of look at the older person and go, I'm not sure that that's really me. I think in my mind, you know, as I keep getting more gray hairs and hair starts expanding into new regions, right? And like lots of hair used to stop at a certain length. Now it just decides it's going to keep going forever, right? I had an eyebrow hair poking me in the eye the other day. Put my sunglasses on and it was poking me in the eye. That's weird. That didn't used to happen. But I look at myself and I see this younger, new person. And that perspective in our life is when someone gives us a prophetic word or we dream about who we are, I think we see this great end. Like, we hear the Bible talk about being prophets and apostles and pastors or teachers, or we think about a business that we're going to start, and we think about ourselves as the CEO or this big finished product, you know? And if in a sense you think about a seed and then a tree, We think about ourselves not in the seed form, but in the tree form in our mind's eye. Are you with me? Like, maybe I'm the only one. I'm a dreamer, but I know that I'm an extreme dreamer. But I think all of us have dreams, and all of us have potential, and all of us have this desire within us to be great or to do something great. And I just want to dig into the word a little bit and talk about what greatness really is in the kingdom. What is greatness really in the kingdom, and where does it begin, and what does it really look like, and how do we engage in this greatness on a daily basis, right? Okay, so Mark chapter 4, we are reading about the parable of the sower and the seed, and Jesus is teaching about this parable of sower and seed, and that where you sow your soil, it's going to either sow seed in the soil, it's going to produce good fruit, or it's not, right? And we're talking about all these different pieces, but then he goes on to say in verse 26, chapter 4 of Mark, verse 26. The kingdom of God is like a farmer. So he's talking about the kingdom of God first is in our hearts, and he's sowing in our hearts. And he goes on like, look, I want you to get what the kingdom is like when it's going on inside of your heart. When you start to receive the kingdom of God, what is going to happen? The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day. While he is asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the head of the wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Quick note, and we're going to dig into this deeper, is that first, the kingdom of God grows on its own. And when it's sown, you don't get to see it right away. And that perspective, like we're talking about when we're young, and we sow this in, and we have a new dream wherever we're at in our life, it gets sown into the ground, into the soil, and then we go to sleep. We go back and do other stuff. So we invest, we sow, but then we don't get to see that happen because it's not up to us. It's not up to our abilities or how much harder we try to make the kingdom grow. We don't make the kingdom grow. It's not our responsibility. It's the farmer or God's responsibility. The soil's responsibility in this analogy here is that this parable is saying that, like, God makes the kingdom grow. As it's sown in the ground, the farmer goes back to bed, but it just expands on its own, right? Then he goes on in verse 30. It says, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make its nest in its shade. So there's other passages that refer to the mustard seed and our faith. And I want you guys to think about this. Is the kingdom of God is a seed that you're not responsible to grow. And when it's sown in people's lives, it's an unstoppable force that grows into something that is so large that it creates care and a place of home and rest. And it actually changes the environment around it. So like where these trees would grow up, birds and animals and things would have a place, a home to nest, a place where they had security, actually changed the world and the environment around wherever that tree happened to grow up. If you think about what Jesus was actually doing here, when he is on the earth, he's not just teaching to us in the future. He's teaching these disciples right here that are sitting around a rock or something, right? And these individuals, this wasn't some beautiful setting, like this romanticized type setting. It's probably dusty and dirty, and it was real and just normal. And he's thinking, these guys haven't even received him inside their heart yet. Like the seed of the kingdom hadn't even been sown in their life. And so when Jesus is talking about, look, the kingdom of God is going to be like a mustard seed. It's going to be sown into your lives. And then all of a sudden, it seems like this tiny little thing. But God, I am going to cause this seed to expand and grow. And it's going to become this gigantic, humongous tree in the garden. But it starts out where Jesus is on the earth and he's sowing the seed into people and nothing's happening. It's all underground. But then all of a sudden, like the day of Pentecost happens, and that seed, like a shoot begins to pop up 3,000 people get saved, and then all of a sudden you're like, there's something happening here. And God did that. Like, none of those people, like, earned this special right for the Holy Spirit to whoosh in and hammer them. Even though a lot of people might teach, like, well, it's because they prayed so much is why the Holy Spirit swooped in and they earned the grace of God. But that can't be. Are you guys with me? Come on. Okay. That can't be. If the Bible says that grace is not earned, that it's given, then that could not be the reason why the Holy Spirit came in the day of Pentecost, because they did it perfect, because they obeyed the law perfectly. That's not why the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit moves, like Pastor Mark's teaching, in our temple. You and I, He's in our temple, and He moves because He chooses to move, because He sowed Himself in us, and He causes it to grow. The Holy Spirit came because God wanted the Holy Spirit to come. That's why. And He came on the day of Pentecost because that's the day He wanted to come, because it fulfilled all kinds of great, cool stuff. All right? And Jesus died on a specific day because that's when God wanted Him to die, because He was fulfilling the law to perfection. But you and I don't have to fulfill our life to perfection to see the kingdom of God moving, active, alive, and producing these great, glorious trees in our life that are producing good fruit. What we have to do, this is what I'm convinced, is you and I, we have to come to a place where we buy into the fact that the kingdom is about small things. The kingdom is about little things. And our faith is in a great big God who causes little things to become big. He causes small investments to become great. He causes small things to become powerful, humble things, foolish things to confound the wise, small things to change the world. It's an awesome thing. God is a really cool God who set up the kingdom of God to work based on what He is doing, not us. Okay? But we're going to pray, and I want to dig into this a little bit deeper. So, Father, thank You for this word. Thank You that for Your kingdom, God, that it's alive and that it's transforming. Lord, that we get to be a part of a living kingdom, not a dead religion, God, but a living lifestyle with You. God, I thank You that Your kingdom is unshakable. God, that Your word says that Your kingdom is unshakable and unstoppable, and we get to be a part of that. Lord, I'm asking that You will bring revelation to us. God, You will clearly communicate what You want to say today, that we will learn to walk in humility. God, that we will desire to be second place. We will desire to take second place to You, and that You will cause this kingdom to grow in and through us, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So, here's just a great thought. And there's this, I read this story about this famous, orchestra composer. And, you know, he said, you know, in his orchestras, when he's developing his orchestras, the easy thing, you know, is to get first place violinists, right? So they're like, man, how come it's so hard for you to get, you know, second and third place violinists all the time? And you know, he was talking to people he was developing his orchestra with or whatever. And he's like, you know, it really isn't that there isn't enough violinists. And they were having this conversation that, you know, is there just not enough musicians in the world right now? And he goes, it's not really that there's not enough musicians. It's that nobody wants to play second violin. They all want to be first. Because to be first means to be the best. And that, but see, here's the thing, is that in music, when you don't have the first, second, third, and even fourth part harmonies, you know, music is kind of bland. And we miss the richness of what harmonies, of what complements, what complementary like vision and partnership can bring to our world. If you think about when you stand in a room or you walk into a room and there are like 3, 4, 5 people singing harmonies, even if it's a barbershop quartet, think about what that does to you as a person. Right? You're like, wow, that's awesome. But if everybody wanted to be the lead person, It would be lame. You just go, it's just one guy on the street doing whatever he's doing. You just walk by. But when people can like desire to be number two, to be number three, or to do a lesser part, something less, you know, smaller than what that seems like really important, you know, I don't know if I'm communicating here, but look, the beauty of the body of Christ, the beauty of the kingdom of God is that it's not all on you. It's not all on me. And it's not about whether or not you and I have the ability to be the best at anything. But it's about whether or not you or I want to have the desire to be fit where God wants to place us, doing the things that He says are important to do. Not what we think is important to do. So, you know, we need to desire and be okay with being second fiddle to God. That God is going to actually be the one who is glorified in everything we do. But we can't really move forward in power in the kingdom if we don't really grasp this. Maybe that's a bold statement, but I think we're going to get stuck. We're going to get frustrated. And a lot of times the Lord's just going to go, hey, you know what? I'm not really blessing that. That's not what I'm doing. That's what you're doing. So many churches, I think, we get lost in this, activities and things to do. And maybe we're trying to like grow our church or increase finances or do whatever. I don't know. We make up stuff, you know. Sometimes in churches we just make up stuff. We get distracted rather than invest in the kingdom. Invest in the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 3:5. This is Paul and Apollos communicating to the church in Corinth. So Apostle Paul is referring to a time when Apollos and Paul were there. And the church of Corinth is struggling with some stuff. And they're struggling with what we're talking about right now. They're struggling with how do we build the kingdom? What are we really doing? And how, you know, keeping God in the first place. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Just jumping in midstream in Paul's communication here. We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Now, these guys were trying to make Paul and Apollos like more important, even idolatry towards them. They're like, we're doing this in the name of Paul, in the name of Apollos and his doctrine and that doctrine. And they're losing sight of what they're really supposed to be building. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. The Lord gave us. Not the stuff they wanted to do, but the work the Lord gave us. And I promise you, the work the Lord gave them was something very simple and something not super attractive and amazing, and it wasn't all glorious. It was something very simple and a lot of times a hard task. I planted the seed in your heart, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. You see the parallel here of what Jesus taught? See the parallel in Mark chapter 4 where the farmer, we sow the seed, it gets watered, somebody else might come along and water it, but God is the one who causes these seeds to grow. It's not important who does the planting. It's okay to be second fiddle, right? It's okay to be number two. Or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seeds grow. What is important in the kingdom is that God makes the seeds grow. That's what's important. Keep that stuck in your head. Let that be a seed planted in your soil. Come on, right? Verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters, they work together for the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their hard work. The first violinist and the second violinist and the third violinist, they all work for the same purpose. To make something beautiful, right? To make something that impacts your life, that like makes you stop and listen. But you and I, we're not in competition in the body of Christ. As much of a competitive world that we, especially as Americans, grow up in, we have to have a paradigm shift when it comes to the kingdom of God. That it's not first and second, or who gets credit for this or that, or who's better or who's not, or I preach on Sundays and you don't, right? Like Pastor Mark was talking about, what we do here to help feed you is not more important than what you're doing to feed other people. This is us working together to cause the kingdom, to see the kingdom grow, to be a part of the kingdom growing, right? Our job, all of our job, is to sow seed. Is to sow seed, right? Not to be important, not to be looked at as like, well, I went into that town and now I'm the Apostle Paul. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Apostle Paul didn't, like, go into all those towns so he could be the Apostle Paul. He didn't walk in and go, hello, everyone, I'm the Apostle Paul, and I'm here to be your apostle. He didn't do that. You know what the Bible says and what Paul says about himself? He says, I'm like the chief of sinners. Like, I'm a scumbag that Jesus decided he was going to use. And I make tents so that I can eat. And that wherever I go, I'm not a burden on the people where I go. Even though I ought to be able to receive something from them, and it would be godly for them to give, because they're giving and receiving is about them growing and not just me just always giving. It actually allows them to partake in sowing, you know, in the kingdom, right, themselves. But everywhere he went, the guy was a tent maker. This is not like a politician or an important person. This is a tradesman that came into cities and towns, and they weren't looked on really favorably. They weren't like the important people. The Apostle Paul didn't come in and like try to be important. Neither did Apollos or John or all these other people that walked with Jesus. They really understood the kingdom is about people. Kingdom investment is about people. And it takes humility to want and have the desire to really sow into the life of one person. You with me? Okay. It's way harder than doing what I'm doing right now. Way harder. It takes more sacrifice. It takes more time, more commitment. You have to give up things from yourself, which is another act of humility where, God, I'm going to trust you with all these other things I want to do, my selfishness or my desires to just, whatever, take care of myself, which I believe you ought to do, right? Take care of yourself. But there comes a place where we're called to give to others, to invest in others. But it takes a humility and it takes a selflessness to be able to participate in the kingdom. And you and I, we have to buy into the fact that the kingdom is about people. Individuals, one person, one seed at a time. When Paul came into these places, he built relationships. And he was okay with being second place. And over many, many years, decades of investment, one-on-one with people and loving them and then getting them in groups and teaching them and caring for them and giving to them seeds, small little seeds, little things, helping them with carrying their water somewhere, or just sitting down with them and helping them through one struggle or one problem and teaching about one thing about who Jesus is in their life, caring for them, little tiny things all the time, invested, sown. And people start coming back and going, that's the guy. These are the individuals, you know, Apostle Paul, John, Peter, these were guys that they sowed so much into our life. We care about who they are. We are following them. We're listening to them. They're the ones who instructed us and led us, right? But it wasn't in the big things. Apostle Paul wasn't the Apostle Paul, which would be the tree form of whatever his investment was in the kingdom. Apostle Paul was a farmer. He was a seed sower. He understood how the kingdom worked. And he tried to realign these individuals that were getting off base, and they're thinking the kingdom was something else. And it's not. And this is the thing that I really want us to grab today, is that, as it says just right here, it says, you are God's field and you are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder who others are now building on. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any other foundation than the one that we have already laid, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Like, everything about the kingdom is about Jesus. It all comes back to sowing the seed and the foundation of who Jesus is in our life. And you can branch that into whatever you want. You can like expand that, and that goes extremely deep. But really, all of our problems, all of the troubles in our life, all of the successes in our life, they come back to Jesus. They come back to our relationship with Him. Even in our success, God, how do I relate to You? How do I use my success and the wealth and the things You've given me for Your kingdom? I'm a poor beggar. Like, God, how do I take my poverty and how do I encounter You, Jesus? And how do I invest in other people right now? I'm sick. I'm ill. I have family troubles, whatever it happens to be. How do I interact with Jesus? How do I take Jesus into my life right now and encounter Him in my life? It's like we have to continue to stay grounded in our relationship with Jesus. We have to continue to stay grounded in the fact that the kingdom is always going to be about sowing seeds of who Jesus is in other people. And you know what? I think that in some ways, that just to us as people just might not seem glamorous enough. It's just not cool enough sometimes, right? I'm like, but I want to do something else. But God's just like, I didn't ask you to do anything else. But can we do even cooler, new, bigger stuff? Yeah, I guess you can. But that's all it's going to be, is bigger, new, cooler stuff. If you want to do something new, bigger, cool, invent a new game or go to a sporting event, go do that stuff. That's fun. That's awesome. While you're there, find a way to invest in the kingdom by sowing Jesus into somebody's life. Are you with me? We have to have the humility to buy into the fact that we're simple farmers. We're dirt farmers. We're kingdom farmers. People are the soil, right? People are God's field. You and I, we're God's field. And over time, when we grow, we become His building, like Peter says, right? We're spiritual stones. Lively, living stones, all built together to make God's house. We're the body of Christ, the living body of Christ, learning to work together through humility. But like all of what I'm saying right now, I want to just bring down to this focal point, is that Mark was saying it in, when he was doing the transition here back just a little bit ago, is that what you and I do on a daily basis, the simplest of things, the simplest of love actions towards another person, extending Jesus, the compassion of Christ, His love from us to them, that is building the kingdom. That's the key. Because the kingdom starts with little tiny mustard seeds. And you and I have to have the faith and the humility to trust that in those small little simple things, as we keep sowing little bits consistently over time, all the time. Yeah, some of it's going to go on the hard ground. Some of it's going to go in the thorny ground and in the shallow ground. But we're going to get some seed in the good soil. You know what? And I try to be a wise investor. And once I find there's fallow ground, I kind of stop throwing my seed over there. And I start trying to throw it in some other places where I think there might be good seed. And I go, Lord, let's cultivate some humility over here on this hard ground, right? So they could receive the seed and doesn't just get wasted and eaten by the enemy, right? We want our lives to count, to matter. But we have to identify and understand what the kingdom of God really is and how do we participate in it. And it's so simple. It's so simple. Little tiny things over and over and over. Great testimony by a lady that I just heard from our church just this last week. She was at a church. She was on their prayer team. And she's there praying. She's just standing in the back praying for people. Beautiful lady. She's very sweet, older lady. She's been praying for people for probably 40 years of her life. She's been praying for people. No joke. All right? She's one gal just maybe a month or two ago comes back to her, bumps into her in the grocery store or something, and goes, hey, I know who you are. you prayed for me at this church service, and guess what? My life has been absolutely rocked and changed by Jesus since then. And I was gonna commit suicide that day. And you're the first person who ever told me that Jesus loved me. Lord Jesus, bless this young woman and just let her know that you love her, Jesus. Just help her today. I mean, literally. There's no more complicated of a prayer than that. And that small little seed, what jumped into this girl's heart, which was good soil. She was ready. She was needy. She wanted something from the Lord, somebody to minister to her. And this older Christian lady, she had no clue what was happening. She's the farmer who went back to bed. And overnight, the seed just started to germinate and grow in the soil. And all of a sudden, this person comes back and is a growing, healthy Christian whose life was saved, preserved, literally. Could have committed suicide without knowing Jesus. Don't minimize what you're doing. And Pastor Mark was trying to say this earlier, like, don't minimize the importance of you investing in the kingdom. Me in the kingdom. Our little seeds are so valuable. When we have faith that our tiny little loaf of bread, just a little bit later as you read on in the book of Mark, Jesus goes to feed the 5,000. And he uses a couple little loaves of bread and a couple little fish, and he feeds more than 5,000. It's 5,000 men with all their women and children. That's crazy. You can't even feed 500. You couldn't feed 50 with that much food. But that's how the kingdom of God works. These humble little offerings that we're willing to give. And we actually have the humility and the faith. See, the faith of the mustard seed is to believe that the tiniest of investments in the kingdom, God will make them gigantic. He will make them grow. And all he wants is for us to continue to be in more and more relationship with him. But it takes humility. It takes faith. Right? That we can buy in and believe that the God of all creation can take our tiny little investments of mustard seeds and just change the whole world. Millions and millions and millions of believers now alive today. Billions probably throughout all world history because of this little teaching we're talking about right now. This little day when there's a dozen people that are really buying into what Jesus is saying, right? He's saying, look, it's going to start as a mustard seed. Can you imagine if this, even this group of people in here, if Jesus came and taught us this passage about the kingdom and it starts with a mustard seed. And then he got really direct and he said, guess what? Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to come back. You're like, what? Okay, yeah, trust me. Holy Spirit's going to come live inside you. You're going to be the temple of God. You're like, okay. That's crazy. It makes sense to us now as we've been believers for a while, right? But that's crazy. And he goes, guess what? And then you're going to do these tiny little acts of service and love, and you're going to tell people about who I am and how they can have life in me. You're going to preach the gospel. Simply, you're going to make disciples. Individually, you're just going to keep making disciples. And guess what? Within a short time, a few hundred, few thousand years, there's going to be billions of people that come to know me intimately and personally, just from you. I mean, can you imagine? So guess what? That's exactly what Jesus is saying to you right now. And I'm not Jesus, trust me. Because this same word is applicable to us today as it was to those disciples then. The kingdom of God is unshakable and unchanging. It doesn't change. It's the same. We have to continue to stay rooted on the fundamental principles of what governs the kingdom. How does it really work? How does it really grow? Humility, faith, the desire to humbly and faithfully invest and sow into other people consistently and not be rating and undermining our own investments and saying, well, all I did was just get him a cold cup of water in the name of Jesus. But Jesus said, if you give someone even a cold cup of water in my name, your reward's not going to be forgotten in heaven. In fact, that's a seed sown in the kingdom. Who knows what could happen from that? God uses these humble, tiniest little things that absolutely change people's lives. And those individuals go and change thousands of people's lives. Can't remember this guy's name, and I'm just going to say this. I wasn't thinking about putting it in here, but this Australian guy, he gets saved and he just tells the Lord he's going to just start witnessing to people. And he's going to witness people every single day for a certain amount of time. And maybe it was a little legalistic how this guy went about it, but just very humbly, he walked around the streets in Australia and just told people, God bless you. Jesus loves you. He'd tell them about the gospel, little tiny seeds. And many of them just walked by. Many, many years later, and you can look this up on the internet, it's a pretty cool story, and you can correct any of my errors, but many years later, these conferences, these Christian conferences, people start giving their testimony how they got saved. And hundreds of these very, very important people's testimonies are all going back to this same one little man in Australia. Australia or New Zealand, I can't remember, it was one of the two. Very, very, very cool story. He had no clue. This guy was like old and in his own little room living in total poverty at the time when these people said, let's go find this guy. And they find the guy and hugely honor him in the end of his life. We're talking thousands of people came to know the Lord. And powerful ministers came out of that one little person's small investment, little by little. He just being faithful, what he really felt God told him to do is just tell people about Jesus. And you just need to be faithful with a small little thing that God's called you to do. And you know what? Even if it seems silly, it doesn't have to be big. In fact, if it's big, it's probably out of whack. Okay? If you have this giant big movement of this thing you have feel like you have to do, or God won't move, or he won't, you know, move on somebody's life, you know, you probably need to just check that before the Lord and say, Lord, is there something simpler that you're really trying to tell me to do? Because I know the kingdom is about simplicity. It's about you causing it to grow. And my job is just to sow a seed. Right? One of the most important ways that I think we can sow seeds is in learning how to build relationships. Just very practical ways to build lasting and simple and trusting relationships. And some of these practical things are just making someone feel important. Like, hi Bryce, how's it going? You know? Like, I know your name. Like Lee, I know your name. Camille, hi. Kalia, how's it going? Right? Jennifer, hey. You know? Like, one of the most important things I think I can do is learn your name. Know who you are. I don't have to know everything about you, but knowing your name makes you feel important, right? You and I, throwing away the excuse, I'm just not good at learning names, okay? Look, I am pretty skilled at learning names, but I used to be terrible. But little tiny seeds, little tiny opportunities to try and keep trying. This is important. This is probably one of the most important things that I feel like I can do in people's life. And that might seem, it's backwards, right? It's not humongous, but in an individual's life, to be known is huge. It's gigantic, right? And I want to be known. And when somebody remembers my name, it feels awesome. I've been around some pretty big name preachers, you know, and I'm by no means anybody, you know, super important to anybody like that, you know. And there's this whole kind of circuit of like important Christians, and I'm not trying to run any of those guys down. I'm just not trying to do that right now. But some of these people I've met 3, 4, 5 times, and they don't ever remember me from nobody. And you know what? That's okay to me. Like, I'm okay. I'm an okay person. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to have a breakdown. But there are individuals, like there's this one guy who's genuinely, I think, an apostle. And his name is Dick Iverson. And Dick Iverson planted tons and tons of churches. Our church is like a branch out of the same ministry that he was involved in. Him and Pastor Dick, Apostle Dick Benjamin. These guys are like similar heavyweights in the kingdom. I met this guy one time. I'm down at a conference, and I'm kind of walking by, and he goes, hey, Josh, how are you doing? Like, This guy has hundreds of churches that look to him, right? I mean, this guy has thousands of people that know who he is and want to be important to him. And I wasn't even thinking I was going to go say hi to the guy, you know? And after that, it really did something in my heart. Like, it made me feel so important. And it made me respect that guy because it was a tremendous gift, I felt like, that he gave me. And it really changed me as a leader. And that learning someone's name so simply, engaging a person and finding out, like, people want to be known in the sense of, like, who are they and what's their story and where do they come from? What are their hopes and dreams and what do they feel like God made them to do? You know, church, if we could learn how to do these very, very simple and basic interpersonal relationship things and see that in those, in the simplicity of those things, not in the great things of preaching to thousands, but in the simplicity of just being able to humbly sow these seeds and caring for people, knowing them one-on-one, even if we can't solve their deep pastoral issues, right? They have need counseling, all these other kinds of things. That's fine. You don't have to do that stuff. I don't have to be responsible for all that, but I can love that person. I can remember their name. I can look in their eyes and I can care for them as an individual, right? And in those things, I'm telling you, those simple little tiny things, that's just a starting place for you and I. Like, practice that stuff, right? Start and trusting that in that God can actually do something amazing. And just simply start telling people about Jesus. So learning how to build relationships so you have them. You don't need a humongous relationship. You need somebody who you know their name, you know a few things about them, they know your name, and they know a few things about you. That's where you can start sowing kingdom seeds about who Jesus is in their life. Right? How who Jesus can be in their life. But you and I have to get better, I really believe this, and get focused on the simple things of investing in the right places the right way. Just the simple things of building simple relationships with people, humble relationships with people, and telling them simply about the gospel. I'm going to read this one. I got two scriptures. God has called you and I to be kingdom investors. Where do you invest? Where do you sow? Matthew 6, verse 19. Don't store up your treasures on earth where moth eats them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is there the desires of your heart will be also. If you invest in people, people are heaven's commodity. People are the commodity of the kingdom. And if you want to really sow into a place in the kingdom simply where it can never be taken from you, it can never be stolen from the enemy, no one can take away the kingdom investment, it's in people. They are God's commodity. You are God's commodity. You are what he purchased. They are what he purchased. And all God wants to do is continue to purchase more and more and more souls so he can love them and know them. He wants you to love them and know them. He wants you to sow him, his gospel, into them. That's the kind of kingdom investment we're really called to be about. But it's so simple. Give, and it will be given to you. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount that you give will be determine the amount you get back. This is about kingdom. This is kingdom talk right here. I'm not talking about, I mean, it doesn't exclude money, okay? But this includes us and investing in the kingdom. See the same principle? You sow a little and it grows into a lot. You give a little bit of love and care into a person's life and it grows into a gigantic tree of life in who they are because Jesus makes his home inside them. And then just grows up and just blows it all up with this beautiful story of life transformation, right? Man, so let's buy into the kingdom. Let's cultivate humility and stir up our faith to believe that God can, he will, He is building his kingdom while we're sleeping. He's building his kingdom in ways that are they're mystifying. You can't understand. Even to this day, they don't know how a seed really grows. They can't explain scientifically why it actually has life. They don't know. You get down to the crib cycle, they're like, I don't, this is what's happening, but who the heck knows how or why? But it's happening, and it creates everything. You're like, okay, awesome. But let's change the perspective of when we have these little tiny seeds, and they look dead. They look like nothing could ever happen of it. Don't keep that in your sower's bag. Get used to grabbing in that thing and throwing it out liberally. Share your life liberally with wisdom, right? Liberally with wisdom. Not investing it into places where it's going to damage you and harm you all the time, but investing into good soil. There's so much good soil out there. There's so many needy people out there, right? Let's pray. Thank you for your word, Lord. You're really, really, really good. There's none like you. God, cultivate humility in my heart. Can you pray that? Jesus, cultivate humility in my heart. God, help me right now. God, cause me to have faith and trust that you are going to cause your kingdom to grow. Help me to see the opportunities to sow into people's lives, simply sow into their lives. Just humble little offerings, God, that you will take and grow into a powerful tree. Give me faith like a mustard seed. God, give me the faith of the mustard seed. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anybody here you want to receive prayer, I just invite you to mingle with other people if you want prayer. You can come to the front. Any of our leaders, pastoral leaders and care team will come pray with you. But we love you today. And I hope that God just gives you the eyes to see these opportunities to really begin investing in the kingdom. And you know what? 30, 40 years from now, we'll turn back and go, wow, look at all the awesome stuff that God did. We could not even have imagined that would be possible. It was 100 times what we had put in there. 100 times. I mean, all I did was throw this little thing. Amen? Amen. So go in peace. Go sow some seeds. Right? God bless you. Have a fantastic week.